10:30 on Sunday morning. So we'd love to see you. If you're unable to make it, you can watch it on there. It'll be put up on Facebook later. And I'm real excited to see what God's going to do again this Sunday. So if you're looking for a new church, if you're looking for a church home, I invite you to come by. We're at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, Island Community Church. If you like what you hear here on the radio, then you know exactly what to expect, and I personally invite you. And I'll come searching for you on Sunday morning if I see a new face in there that I haven't seen. So, all right, God bless everyone. Have a wonderful weekend. Here's part two of this message, Total Depravity.
Okay, TULIP. TULIP is the acronym that best describes the sovereignty of God as it relates to salvation. Now, I didn't say I believed in all these because I don't. So much so, I had the parts that I don't believe, and this church doesn't officially believe, put into our statement of faith that you read online. How does God save a person? How much of the transaction is God responsible for? How much of the transaction are you responsible for? So those who hold to the Reformed tradition believe that the following acronym best describes the sovereignty of God as it relates to salvation. Okay, TULIP, are you ready? The T stands for total depravity. You see it there in the handout. Meaning that old stuff that perhaps your mother or father or teacher or the bully over at the school told you is actually true. You ain't no good. Might be wrong to tell a child, but Jesus says no one is good. You're not holding on to, you know, let me help end any confusion you might. You are not holding on to any goodness. There is no goodness in you. Jesus says no one is good. Psalm 14 and 53 says God looks down on all of humanity to see if there's anybody good. No one is good but one, that is God. You're totally depraved. Meaning, you're dead in your sins. And meaning, you don't have it within yourself to get saved. You don't have it. You don't have it within yourself to get saved. Because the name total depravity can cause people to have wrong ideas about what is meant. You know, the word deprive, you know, you say, well, I'm not an axe murderer. I don't beat up my wife. I don't take heroin. Because of people thinking like that, some people use other terms to define this, like for T, total inability, or radical corruption, or better yet, moral inability. Moral inability. Yet what is important is not the name associated to the doctrine, but how accurately the doctrine summarizes what the Bible teaches about the spiritual condition of fallen man. No matter what name you use to refer to total depravity, the fact remains that when properly understood, it's an accurate description of what the Bible teaches on this subject. You don't have what it takes on your own to not only believe in and receive Christ, but to recognize that you are immoral and separated from God, and that you lack the necessary means to get right with God. Okay, now on the bottom of the handout here, you'll see scripture verses. That comes from this portion here I want to read to you. The total depravity of man is seen throughout the Bible. Man's heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17:9. You see that on there? All these liberals that are on my radio station, and they moan and moan and moan and about all of the evil that's in the world and why. And I said, it's very simple. This is why I ran for president last time. I got the solution. It's very simple. It's Jeremiah 17:9. From the mouth of God. It says the heart is desperately sick and it's evil. You need a heart transplant. And I'm the surgeon here today and I've never lost a case. You do what God says and you'll have the victory. You need a new heart because yours is corrupt. It's corrupt. That's the simple solution. Do what God says and you'll be all right. The Bible teaches us that man is born dead in transgressions and sins. That's Psalm 51:5. David says, in sin my mother conceived me. Psalm 58:3 and Ephesians 2, 1 through 5. We'll get to that one. The Bible teaches that because unregenerate man is dead in transgressions, Ephesians 2:5, he is held captive by a love for sin, John 3:19, John 8:34, so that he will not seek God, Romans 3:10 and 11, because he loves darkness rather than light, John 3:19, and does not understand the things of God, because they're spiritually asleep. See, are these things ringing a bell for those of you that know the Bible? We hear these things all throughout the letters of Paul, showing us how we can't make it on our own. We're spiritually discerned. We're in darkness. We seek after darkness. Therefore, men will suppress the truth of God in unrighteousness. Romans 1:18. They'll continually, willfully live in sin. Because they're totally depraved, this sinful lifestyle seems right to a man. Proverbs 14:12. So they reject the gospel of Christ as foolishness. 1 Corinthians 1:18, a message of the cross is foolishness to them that are lost, but to us who are saved, it's the power of God. Their minds are hostile towards God, for it does not submit to the law of God, neither can it. Romans 8:7. All those are right there on the handout to prove this point. To prove this point, friend, that you don't have it in yourselves to come to Jesus Christ. You need help. And the good news is, this is why you're here. God's helped you. He's given you the gift of faith. Faith is a gift from God. You haven't earned it. You haven't worked for it. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works. Lest anyone should boast about it. Oh, I've got the gift of faith, Bill. Stick with me for a couple years. Maybe you'll get it too. How foolishness is that? None of works. Okay, you. The you stands for unconditional election. Unconditional election is also known by the names unmerited favor, or sovereign election, or adopted by God. All these terms are good names for this doctrine because each reveals some aspect of the doctrine of election. The debate over unconditional election is not whether or not God elects or predestines people to salvation, but upon what basis he elects them. Is that election based on the foreknowledge that those individuals will have faith in Christ, or is it based on God's sovereign choice to elect them? As the word unconditional implies, this view believes God's election to people, or God's election of people to salvation, is done with no conditions attached, either foreseen or otherwise. We'll look at that one next week. The L stands for limited atonement, meaning the atonement of Christ was only provided for those whom he has elected. Otherwise, everyone would be saved, is their thinking, because how could the decrees and actions of God not see their perfect fulfillment? Therefore, he didn't die for all or for the world, but only for a select few. Notice the words all and world in there. The wheels ought to be churning right now in your head. verses like John 3:16. Where's that tie? John 3:16, thank you. For God so loved Merritt Island that he gave his only begotten son. That's not what it says. It says God so loved the world. You see, when you got to change what the Bible says to make your theology work, then you're wrong and you need to change. People say, and the brains say, well, world does not mean world. Studies show that world means Jerusalem and its immediate surrounding areas. This is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. It says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all to be testified of in due time. Now, Calvinists say, no, all doesn't mean all. All means me and everyone that agrees with me. Otherwise, he ain't talking to you, Smedley. Jesus says, it's simple. When you got to change what the word of God means, you're wrong. You need to change what you believe. Jesus Christ, God so loved everyone in the world. Now it's up to you. He's made salvation available. He says, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. He said, all day long I've stretched out my arms to a disobedient and obstinate people. You've got to respond. All means all. World means world. And I got a PhD too. So don't just say I'm stupid and don't understand and I'm not at your level. We'll get to that. Oh boy, that's going to be a fun one in 2 weeks. I. The I in TULIP stands for irresistible grace. The doctrine is also known as the effectual calling of God. In plain English, this means there's no stopping the Holy Spirit from saving a person at the precise moment that he so chooses. Like the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. That's a picture of irresistible grace, right? I mean, the Apostle Paul, by golly, he was going to believe on that day going on that road to Damascus. That's what irresistible grace means. There was no stopping him from coming to faith on that day. I came to Christ in irresistible grace. I'm willing to bet every soul in this church has come to Christ. Every one of you has got a story to tell about how you came to Jesus Christ and what happened and how that was your day and you knew it. That was the day Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. That was your day. The grace of God is irresistible. You will receive it. I believe that. I believe that because it's happened to others in the Bible. And God is no respecter of persons. And it's happened to me. And it's happened to so many of you that I know have got a story to tell. That when God makes Jesus real to you, you're not going to say, no, Lord. No. I don't believe that. That's my point. I believe in irresistible grace. I believe in the effectual calling of God. That when he calls my name, he's going to enable me to be able to hear him and say, yes, Lord, I can't do this without you. I believe that. Lastly, P, the perseverance of the saints. This means that you are going to cross the finish line no matter what. Why? Because you didn't save yourself. God saved you. He chose you. He called you. He's marked you out for salvation. He's already justified you. He's already glorified you. Don't you think you're going to cross the finish line? You didn't save yourself. How many times have you said it in here? If I save myself, what? I'll lose it. I give you till Tuesday to lose it. For those watching on Facebook, he gave himself the parking lot. See, thank God we didn't do it. He did it. The perseverance of the saints. That's what that doctrine holds to. And there you've got it, TULIP. Also, I didn't say I believe all of these. I think there's only one I truly have a problem with, limited atonement. But I also have a problem with stripping man of all his responsibility to choose. The Bible's full of it, from A to Z, from Genesis. He says, choose. If you choose this path, the day you choose of it, you will surely die. You got a choice to make. All the way to the very end of the Bible. The very end. I believe there's a sign hanging over the gates of heaven that says, whosoever will. Whosoever will. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. You've got a choice. The Bible says you got a choice. But the great thing is, my understanding, I can finally justify these two, and here's what it is. God's given you choices, but without the gift of faith, you can't make the right choice. That's the answer to the question. You have got the free will and the choice to call on the name of the Lord Jesus, but you can't call on the name of the Lord Jesus without the gift of faith that's been given to you. You can't do it without him. You're just like Paul without him. Read Acts chapter 8. He's terrorizing the countryside, killing Christians. That's what you look like without faith. Maybe some of you can remember life without faith. How about you, Bill? Remember what it was like? What do you say about Amazing Grace? Bill always says, I'm the wretch they sing about in that song. You can remember what it was like. That's how you square the two. That's a revelation God just gave me today. The Bible's full of instructions for you to choose, but you can't choose the right way without help from God, without God giving it to you. Now here this morning, let me start preaching here now. The T in TULIP stands for total depravity. Here's what the Bible says about it. This is what we got left here. Let's look at T. I was reading the instructions. We're getting ready for this. Now, let me say a few words here. The T stands for total depravity. Here's what the Bible says about it. Ephesians 2 and 1. It says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. So just so you know, not only do dead men not save themselves, dead men have no desire to save themselves. How could you? You're dead. Think about it. And you he made alive who were dead. Dead means dead. Imagine if we change that, if you don't believe that. Let's see, who could I pick on? Scott. Okay, Scott. Everyone except you, because you don't believe that doctrine. Romans 3, 9, and 10. As it is written, no one is righteous, no, except Scott. There is no one who seeks, there is none who understands except Scott. There is no one who seeks after God except Scott. That's pretty good. We got to add another throne up in heaven for Scott. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside, except Scott. They have together become unprofitable. There is no one who does good, not one except for Scott. You see how ridiculous that sounds? Sounds like you got a bad case of the I wills. Sounds like Satan to me. There is none who does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. This, church, was your spiritual condition BC, before Christ. You were the same as Saul. Dead to the true things of God. John 8:34, Jesus said, most assuredly, that means you bet your sweet bippy is what that means. I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. The shock to your self-esteem this morning, church, is this. You neither have what it takes to break this bond, nor do you possess what it costs to break it. You don't have it. There's no money in the world that can pay the cost for your sin. You can't pay for it. You stand guilty before God. What are you going to do? Right, call in the name of the Lord. John 3:3, most assuredly, there it is again. You can bet your sweet bippy that unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, you can write it down. Amen, amen, lego human. That unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. As you stand, you cannot and will not enter into the kingdom of God and stand before God and see his face or have eternal life. You cannot give birth to yourself. Jesus said, if you're not born again, you'll never see the kingdom. You won't want it. You know, I used to mock at people that were called born again way back when I was a heathen. I used to think a born again Christian was one of those bald guys walking around in the airport holding a sign. Even the press mock it. The press will tell you the first born-again Christian was who? Jimmy Carter. That's what they believe. There's been one born again, the bald guy with the sign. One born-again Christian in the history of the United States, Jimmy Carter. And Jesus says, unless if you're born again, you'll never see the kingdom of heaven. You mock it without it. You don't want it without it. You can't want to be born again on your own. You need help. That's my message today. You need help. You do not and will not and cannot desire to be born again without someone already doing it to you. Because you don't want it. You don't want it. You want to continue doing what you're... Men seek darkness rather than light is what John said you are. This was your spiritual condition before God. And before God changed your condition. And I believe it's incorrect to say that God just knew that you would come to Christ someday because, sorry to say, you don't have what it comes. You don't have what it takes to come to Christ someday or to be born again. You don't have it today. You didn't have it yesterday. You won't have it tomorrow. You won't have it ever if it's a gift of God. Someone had to intervene directly in your life and accomplish this, just like being dead. Imagine being dead, face down in the bottom of a swimming pool, dead. D-E-A-D, dead. But praise God, God intervened in your life. And in a mighty way, he reached down, pulled you out of that pool, breathed into you the Spirit of God in everlasting life, and set your feet upon a rock. He did it all. All to him I owe. Jesus Christ, God, because of God's sovereign will, chose you and called you before he made any of this, and he took you out of the muck from being dead. Ephesians 2:1. You he made alive who were dead. God saved you because he loves you. And to really make your head spin this morning, I'm going to give you a spinner before you leave, is Jeremiah 1:5. God said to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I knew you. I knew you. Before you were born, I already knew you. Figure that out this morning. And whom he foreknew, these he's predestined. to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. What a great truth that is, that God has already known you. I don't understand what that means. We will, in the by and by. Let's pray.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Your breath.